Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John chapter 5 verse 47. The Gospel of John chapter 5 verse 47. The Gospel of John chapter 5 verse 47 reads this way. It says, "But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. We do thank you again, Lord, for the privilege of being able to assemble together in your house as your body of believers. And then, Lord, once again being reminded where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. So we thank you for your presence this evening. And again, Lord, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might hear from you and worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Bless your word, build your people, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message tonight is, "How shall ye believe my words?" That's a good question. How shall you believe my words? That's important. We're going to look at what the Lord wanted to do. And he wanted, first of all, to fulfill his promises that he gave to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles and to the obviously to the whole world. The Lord had given these promises. And so tonight, as we consider this text, "How shall ye believe my words?" Well, the Lord gave the Jews and really everybody four ways to believe his word. And we're going to look at that here in just a moment. We'll see, first of all, the witness of John. Secondly, we'll see the witness of the Lord's works. And then we'll see the witness of the Father and the importance of the witness of the Scriptures. So there are four ways that we can know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we live in a crazy day and age that we live in. And there are people, I think they're well-intended, but I don't know that that gets you an audience with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have the best of intentions, and if you don't have the Scriptures right, if you don't have the Lord right, there's a lot of people that they say they believe in God, but they're missing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore you have these crazy things that are going on today where people are gathering together. They're having these get-togethers. About maybe 5 years ago, there was some kind of a revival. They were, you hear about these revivals that they were proclaiming. It was at a college university. Do you remember this? About 5 years ago. And they were having hundreds of people. I think they said they had at least 5,000 people baptized, if I'm not mistaken. And it went on for quite some time. It was more than just a few weeks that this was going on. But then when they were recording on the inside, you wouldn't recognize that for a worship service. It looked maybe like a music concert. I would dare say maybe more a little bit towards the rock side. But there was not the word of God that was being preached. So what were these people being saved unto, right? They were professing to know the Lord, and yet I think they missed the Lord completely. And now I heard the latest thing here I mentioned not too long ago. They were baptizing thousands of people in the ocean, you know, in Tampa, in Los Angeles, and somewhere around in the Houston area, in the Gulf of Mexico over there. But you didn't hear about any of the churches that they were joining. Now, here's what I think. I'm just going to tell you what I think. I could be extremely wrong, but here's what I think. I think there were some well-intending people that went to these meetings, but they were negligent, unknowingly, I would say, some of them, concerning the Scriptures. Because if we have the Word of God wrong, we'll have God wrong, and we'll have what I just heard recently and I mentioned to you, we'll have the God of our understanding, but not the God of the Bible. And so let me back you up here just a little bit here in chapter 5, and let's look at the witness of John. And by the way, you remember who John the Baptist was. He came, remember he told the disciples, said, Lord, it's in the Scriptures that, and I'm paraphrasing here, that Elijah was going to come first. And he said, I want you to know, he's come already. And it was obviously John the Baptist. He looked just like the same spirit of Elijah, the prophet. So look at verse 33. And he says this here, the Lord speaking. He says, "You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth." Now listen to what the Lord just said there. You sent unto John. You wanted to know who he was. You sent people there, and he bared witness of the truth. But notice, but I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. Now he's talking to the Jews, and he's talking to the religious crowd. And when you're talking, now stop and think about this. When you're talking to the religious crowd, and the Lord is saying, I'm speaking that you might be saved. well, these people are thinking they're already saved. These people are thinking they're already right with the Lord. But the Lord is coming to them and he's saying, the reason why I am speaking to you is for your salvation. So the Lord, let me ask you this question. Did the Lord see a need in their life?
Yes.
Was it a genuine need? They needed this. But how do you think they saw the Lord? They're saying, wait, you're just but 30 years old and you're going to tell us we've been in the Word of God for longer than you've been alive, probably some of them, right? But wait a minute, what they neglected to understand was he was the Lord. And you remember what Simeon and Anna said when they saw him. This was the promise. This was the Messiah. Now, how is it that the Jews that were confronting the Lord Jesus Christ didn't know who he was, but how come Simeon and Anna knew who he was? How come they knew that? Because the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit revealed to them and led them. So this is the difference. When you have the Word of God and the Word of God has you by the power of the Spirit, you see things differently than you would if you just see the Word of God. Listen, this will shock you. There are atheists that are astute Bible scholars. But they don't study the scriptures to prove the scriptures. They study the scriptures to find fault with it to justify themselves, see? And so they think there's problems, but the reason being is when you approach the Word of God like that, God will allow you to see an apparent contradiction that is no contradiction at all, but we're blinded by our own pride and we can't see the Word of God. Now, obviously, listen, that's talking to the lost world and the religious world, in this case, the Pharisees. But may we walk humbly before the Lord, realizing, Lord, I need you. Don't we need the Lord? I need you, or I will misinterpret things and I will not see things the way you see them, right? I need to see the Word of God and the direction of the Word of God as His. And so, Lord, I want to submit myself. Listen, the world is going crazy, and the religious world has been gone crazy because they don't have the Lord. Let's not let that be said about you and I as believers, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at this witness here. And by the way, you saw right there in verse 34, Jesus had a concern for the Jews. He wanted them to be saved. Look at verse 35. Speaking of John, he was a burning and shining light. Listen, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. They were willing to go so far. And then they said, okay, that's as far as we're going to go. Because he started calling them out. And he was saying, listen, this is the problem. And we need to be in a place where we realize how much we need the Lord. So that we don't build any confidence in ourselves. We can be... All of us, there's not a single one of us that can't take a misstep, spiritually speaking. There's not a single one of us. And so we have to humbly, I've told you this before, and I'm sincere when I tell you, I'm just one step, spiritually speaking, away from falling flat on my face, spiritually speaking. So, you know, I'll pray, oh Lord, don't let me do that. Lord, please don't let me, I don't want to do that. I'm not so confident because God's called me to preach and I've been preaching for over 30 years now and I'm not confident in anything I've done. The only confidence I have that I should have and can have that will hold me is in God. Amen. I need the Lord every day. I'm not looking to the past. That's done. I need the Lord today and every day because, again, I'm just one step away from veering off the path that God would have all of us to be on, all right? So that's the first witness. That's John's witness. And, of course, that he did that through the spirit and power of Elijah. And then, number two, the witness of the Lord's works, he was telling them. Look at verse 36. But I have a greater witness. So remember verse 33, he says, ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. So that's John's witness. But notice what the Lord says here, verse 36, but I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And boy, oh boy, that made them fit to be tied, as they say, right? They were so, that you know what it means to be fit to be tied? They were so steaming mad, so crazy that they needed somebody needed to tie them up so they wouldn't go crazy, right? And do something hurtful to themselves or somebody else. Fit to be tied. So and so he says the Father himself hath borne witness concerning the works that I do. So those were two testimonies that they had. And by the way, we have the same testimony. How important are the works of God? Do you remember what the Lord said to the disciples? He says, I'm going away, and when I go away, that's a good thing for you. And I'm paraphrasing here, and if I'm not mistaken, it's John chapter 14. And you've seen the works that I do. Greater works are you going to be able to do because I'm going back to the Father. Now, when he says greater works you're going to be able to do, obviously that's in the Lord. I can't do anything without the Lord. And so can I believe what Jesus says? Is it the truth? Yeah. And so if he says I can do greater works, shouldn't my confidence be in what the Lord has said? Now, I can't do any greater works in my own power, but God says I can create you to do even greater works. The Lord's our example, but he is sending out as lights in a dark world. He is wanting us to be the difference in the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, listen, I want you to understand something about this. And by the way, as the Father has sent me, and that what the Lord said, so send I you. Isn't that what the Lord said? So verse 37, we find the witness of the Father here. We've seen the witness of the Lord's works here in verse 36. Look at verse 37. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And listen to this. And ye have not his word abiding in you. Now wait a minute. Listen. These are students of the word of God. These are scholars of the word of God. These are teachers of the word of God. And what is it that they were missing? They said the word of God was not, they were not abiding in the word of God. See? So here's the truth. He says, and ye have, verse 38, and ye have not his word abiding in you. Do you know what, when the Lord pointed that out to them, he was pointing out a flaw, a detrimental, defeating flaw that was destroying them, spiritually speaking. I mean, they didn't care about the word abiding. They had their little group. They had their little rules. And the word of God was vacant and missing in their lives. And so the Lord was pointing that out because he's saying, you've got everything but what's essential. You've created things in your minds, in your hearts, and you're missing that which is of the utmost importance. Because if the word of God is not abiding in you, we don't belong to him. And that was the case in their part. They did not belong to the Lord. If they never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and many of them did not, they died and went where? They went to hell. They died in their sins. I mean, that's just the way it is. And here's the thing. They heard the truth. Jesus was standing right in front of them. And they said no. And they said no. And so likewise in our lives, it's important that we say, oh Lord, listen, I want to abide in your word. And I want your word to abide in me. I don't want to play games, Lord. More important than anything in this world is me abiding in you, in your word, and you abiding in me. Because everything in this side of eternity is temporary. Everything's going to burn up. And the only things that have any real value is our relationship with the Lord and him and his word in us and us abiding in his word. Let's not be hearers only and not doers of the word of God. And by the way, don't be defeated in saying, well, I can't do that. I can't either. I can't. But I can in Jesus. My confidence is in the Lord because he said, I will enable you to do that. I will make you to be a royal priesthood. I will make you to honor and glorify you. I will sanctify you. I'll set you apart. If you want to, all we have to do is present ourselves. That's all we have to do. Do you believe that? That's what the Lord said. If you present yourself before the Lord as a living sacrifice, that means we're willing to die, Lord, so that you can be honored and glorified. That's the place to be. I promise, listen, with that kind of a heart, that requires humility. If we're willing to die to self, the Lord will see that. He'll honor that. Amen. He resists us when we're proud. And we have the capabilities of doing that. And by the way, I'm one step away from pride unless I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to look to myself. I don't want to think I'm right. I want to know what you have to say. I want to walk in your way, not mine. So he says this here in verse 38, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. The Lord's telling them, I want you to know how I know the word of God is not abiding in you. You're not listening to the one he sent. Who did he send? He sent the Lord. Do you think the Lord knows more than anybody else whether or not people believe him or not? He does. He does know that. Last thought here. All right. And by the way, let me give you this thought. If the word of God is not abiding in us, we won't believe his son. That's what he just said there. Didn't he just tell them that? He said, you don't have the word of God abiding. That's why you don't believe me. And so if the word of God is not abiding in us, if it's just kind of rolling off like water does a duck's back, we're in trouble. It needs to get into us and move us and guide us. But we have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, your word. And anytime, how do we do that? We look at some things in the word of God. And I will tell you, I can do it too. You know, I can look at the word of God and I can say, Lord, you're asking me to do the hardest things. You ever stop to think about that? Is he not? Love those that hate you. Is that an easy thing to do? No, it's not an easy thing to do. But yet, wait a minute, listen, in the order of spiritual things, that's the easiest thing to know that you're doing or not doing because you can see that. Now, I will tell you this. I want you to know something, lest you think too much of me. I don't want you to do that either. I can't love those that hate me, but I can in Jesus, right? I can in the Lord. Now, and what I'm talking about, the Lord didn't say, love those that don't like you or have a hard time with you. I told you before, my wife says, you know, I love you, but I don't know if I like you right now. Now, she doesn't say that to me all the time. And she's joking in that sense. But you know what? Can you frustrate loved ones? Have you ever frustrated loved ones? I have. I'll just be honest with you up front. I'm human. I'm not trying to make you think I'm not anything or that I'm something other than what you are. We are all the same in that regard. The only hope we have of success and spiritual victory is Jesus. That's it. So don't answer this. Would you say that probably everybody in this room has had people that love them not like them at that moment, for a particular moment? Okay, that's not what the Lord's talking about, right? What the Lord is talking about are those that hate us. God wants us to love them. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you that I have to be... That's why we need to... I don't know when that's going to happen, if it's going to happen. I don't know when that's going to happen, if it's going to happen. So I don't say, Lord, help me to love people that are going to hate me. I could be asking... I'm asking for the wrong thing. But Lord, I need you to fill me and guide me so that when that happens, that will be the natural... That will be the spiritual response because we're abiding in Christ and Christ is abiding in us. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's the Word of God. And so that's where the Word of God becomes real, practical, and spiritual when we are engaged in that warfare. The greatest need that the church needs today, which is the greatest need that the church has always needed, is Jesus Christ and his power in us to honor and glorify him. So to abide in the Word of God requires the work of the Holy Spirit, or we're going to be nothing more than hearers of the Word of God and not doers of His Word. So last thought here, and notice the importance and witness of the Scriptures. Now, these people profess to know the Scriptures, but there is some great, great error here. Look at verse 39. He says, search the what? Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them, listen to this, ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But they looked at it differently. Search the Scriptures, and they were searching the Scriptures, but they were not looking for the testimony of the Messiah. They were looking at the letter of the law, and they were keeping the law, and they were keeping other things that they created that they thought made them acceptable before the Lord. But they were looking at the Word of God completely wrong because they missed the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you think you're going to have eternal life, but the real life is in the Messiah, not in the law. And so they missed the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I believe they were sincere, but they were full of themselves, and they did not say, God, I need you, or I'm going to get this wrong. So again, verse 39, search the Scriptures, verse 39, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Listen to this, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. They are resistant to the Lord. Listen to that. You will not come to me that you might have life. Can that be said of the church today? You think you've got this right, you think you've got, and you won't even come to me, but you're going to do this and you're going to do that, and you won't even come to me, but you're going to do this and you're going to do that, and you're going to go on and on and on, but you won't come to me. You're going to go ahead and do this, and you're going to take care of this duty and that practice and this practice, but you're not coming to me. We miss the Lord in that. And notice what he says here, verse 40, and ye will not come to me that ye might have what? God wants us to have his life. I receive not honor from men, verse 42, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. Do you think God knows us when we don't have the love of God? I'm gonna confess to you, okay? I don't always have the love of God. I need the love of God. I need to walk in the love of God. The only way I can have that love of God, can you guess how I can have the love? Can you guess how we can have the love of God? We have to ask Him and believe Him. Lord, today, for the rest of this day, and only because the first part of it's gone, almost all of it. But anyway, I want to walk in you, and you and me. If I have Jesus Christ, do I have the love of God? Absolutely. If I have Jesus Christ, do I have patience and kindness and gentleness? You see what? This is a biblical principle. If we have Christ, we have what?
Life.
We have life and we have everything we need. Right? A life more abundantly. And that's what he wants us to have. So he says this. Verse 42. But I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. And so they are completely missing the principle of the Word of God. Verse 44, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now, do you understand what he's saying right there? They were all high-fiving, spiritually speaking, and patting each other on the back because they were all in agreement with keeping their rules and their regulations and their law. And he says, but you're rejecting me that the Scriptures speak of. You're rejecting me that brings the love of the Father and the love for the Lord and the love of God into your lives. And so he says, you're missing the most important part. So he says, verse 44, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? You know what God honors? Those that believe in him, that humble themselves and say, you know, Lord, I believe you. You said you can do this. I believe you. I'm going to ask you to do that, and I'm going to walk expectantly. Don't let the devil make you so afraid of the flesh that you can't boldly go before the Lord and ask him to fulfill what he's promised in our lives. That'll keep us defeated. Lord, I am asking you to do what you said you wanted to do with me, and I am presenting myself before you to fulfill your will.
Amen.
I want you to do your will in my life. That's the way that we need to walk. Listen, that's how you're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. we'll miss it any other way. And so, verse 45, he says this, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, whom you trust." They're really missing it. Because Moses was pointing, in fact, he told them, look for the other prophet that's like me. Well, Moses married a Gentile bride, right? Moses was rejected by his own at the beginning and then received the second time. Sound familiar? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so notice verse 46, "For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Did you get that? He wrote of me. So they should have stopped and said, wait a minute, we're missing something here. But that takes the grace of God, and it takes humility. You know, Lord, these people were genuine. They were committed. Wouldn't you say that? These Pharisees and these Jews, right, that Jesus came to save, they were committed. They were dedicated. They were assured they had no humility. They had no humility. They looked at the Word of God, and they became self-righteous. So sure of themselves. I don't walk that way. You know why? Too many times I thought I was right, I was wrong. Have you ever done that? I thought I was so right many times. I want you to know that. I'm not just saying that. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She'll tell you. No, she won't tell you because she loves me, but it's still true. All right? So many times I thought I was right, I was not right. And you know what that does? That causes you to walk a little slower and think a little bit longer and call upon the Lord a whole lot more. God, you know what I've learned? I will make a big mess of things, Lord, unless you're guiding me. And you know, when I ask the Lord to do that, he makes everything turn out right. I didn't say you don't go through trials. I still go through trials, I want you to know. But I go through them a lot differently than I used to go through them. I watch the Lord do things that I would have made a mess of. You believe that? And so, you know what that... Listen, that is a beautiful relationship, not because I have it, because it's the one the Lord wants with you, wants with us. And listen, that's something we have to ask him for every day. Lord, help me not to walk in my confidence, but in your Spirit. Does that make sense? Was the Lord humble? Was he gentle? Was he kind?
Yes.
We're not that way. You might be, I'm not. I'm not that way. Lord, I need you to make me that way, because I'm not that way. I will never be that way without the Lord. Does that make sense? I need the Lord. I need him every day for that. Very quickly, and we're finished. Speaking of Moses, verse 47, "But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Because Moses wrote of him. See, did they know the Word of God? But they didn't believe the Word of God. There's a difference. Did you get that? They knew the Word of God, but they didn't believe the Word of God. And so they missed the Lord. And you know, we can too. So tonight, God says, humble yourselves before the Lord. You know what that says? I need you, God. I need the Lord. Listen, the moment I put confidence in what I've done in the past, I'm going to fail in the future. Because I haven't done anything without the Lord. We can't do anything. So tonight, God says, how shall you believe my words? That's a good question. How shall you believe my words? By humbling myself before you and calling upon you to guide me to hear them and to obey them and to walk in them by your power and grace. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your word and your wisdom and your guidance and your love for us, Lord. How you continually, faithfully, Lord, call upon us and have that open door of grace for us to walk into and call upon you to guide us into your paths and your ways. We ask your blessings on Northwood Baptist Church, Lord, tonight. All of your people, all of your members that are here, Lord, those are unable to be here tonight, may you do a wonderful work in our hearts and minds to understand you in a greater way, that you might be honored and glorified, and the light of God would shine through this place and through your people. Bless all of your churches, Lord, tonight, all of your people, and bless us, Lord, as we break off our prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.